Please join with me in the call to worship. O Lord of liberty and love, we come before you in gratitude for our country and its values that derive from your word. We thank you, God, for those who have promoted peace, justice, and integrity throughout history. And we remember on this Memorial Day weekend those who have been called to risk and who have given their lives in service for our freedom and our safety, especially those who have given their lives to resist oppression and to protect or establish political and religious freedom. We come to praise and thank you for those who have fallen or become wounded and for their families who mourn.
Help us in this hour to receive your word. We may be instruments of your ultimate will for peace and justice.
Please join with me in prayer. O God, we come here out of the rush of our everyday lives, welcoming your spirit into our innermost being. The calm and the peace of your presence restores us and helps us to put our lives back together in appropriate perspective. What is love? What is peace? And what is beauty, if they cannot be measures against your goodness? And we are grateful for the generous beauty of this season and all its wondrous color, for it is part of your extraordinary creation. We pray that in some way, our creativity may add to the fullness of life for someone else through words carefully chosen to bring kindness and compassion to those we encounter. And may our love today move outward like the ripples in a pond to those in need of an extra measure of love and acceptance. Let us join now together in that which Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you'll find a complete list of announcements, but I'd like to highlight a few today. As you can see, as you are entering into the church in honor of Memorial Day, we have flags on our front lawn, donated by Howard and Judy Reynolds. Please take one in memory of those who gave the ultimate sacrifice in military service. And one of my favorites, or our family's favorites, is the Blessing of the Fleet and the Southport Street Parade with pancake breakfast and free refreshments. That is occurring at the church on Saturday, June 11th at 11 a.m. Paul, Julianne, and Laura, along with other Fairfield clergy, will all be participating, and we look forward to seeing you all there. And lastly, the backpack supply drive for Horizons has begun. Please check your email from May 26th for more details. All supplies are due at the church on July 5th, and the backpacks will be assembled on July 24th. All are welcome to participate.
All you are and all you are. and your hand will lead the way. So I thank you, Lord, for loving me at the passing of this day. And I think about your greatness, but my mind's too small to see all you are and all you've done. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. All you are and all you've done. Thank you, Lord, for loving me.
Four in a row. Wow. Get my glasses here. As we enter this period of contemplation and prayer, we ask that you lift up your hearts for the following individuals. For the victims of the senseless tragedies in Uvalde, Texas, and in East Buffalo, New York. For our children and our teens who are suffering from anxiety and depression resulting from the recent tragic events in our town and in our nation. For those who feel alone in this world and who struggle with mental health. For Louise White, Marnie White's mother, who was recently moved to a care facility for Alzheimer's. For those who are recovering from surgery, and for our own Paul Whitmore, who will be having shoulder surgery this week, and for Steve Weitzer, who is undergoing treatment for pancreatic cancer. With these prayers and all those on our hearts and our minds, let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, we come to you this Memorial Day weekend with our hearts wide open, full of gratitude and recognition for those brave individuals who gave their lives in service for our country. As we begin the summer months ahead, we watch the earth around us shift and we marvel at what seasonal change can deliver. The electricity of lightning, potent rain showers, or even possible tornadoes off in the horizon, but also glorious sun, clear nights, and pleasant breezes. We also know this wonderful time of year as the season of graduation, with proud students released, entering new journeys in their life with optimism, dreams, and hopeful possibilities. When we look upon their faces of celebration, accomplishment, and true joy, we feel your presence nearby. But Lord, these days are also filled with heartbreak and hardship, and so we open up our hearts now and share with you our deepest feelings. For our hearts are heavy and saddened by the recent tragedies resulting in so much loss of innocent life. We offer and give over to you our sadness, our worries, our discouragement, our frustration, our anger, and most of all, our questions. Questions about the existence of hatred, evil, illness, and recurring violence against others. Welcome the 21 beautiful souls from Uvalde into your kingdom with loving arms, and surround the families and community impacted with prayers of healing and support, that through you they may have peace. As the Bible teaches us in the book of Matthew, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. For you, God, are our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Incline your ear, Lord, and hear our prayers. In our times of struggle, we are ever thankful for this place of quiet and calm, where we can pause and listen to your voice, knowing that it is a place where we can return to at any time and find understanding. Be with us this week as we strive to live as faithful people in your world. Keep us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Resting and refreshing in your Holy Spirit. This we pray. Amen. Yesterday, Ellery and I were barreling along the highway from Virginia up here to Connecticut following an attendance to a high school graduation. And during that time, I was thinking about generosity of spirit and its true meaning and its various forms. And it can come through a kind word or an acknowledgement of someone. As the invocation said, words carefully chosen to bring kindness and compassion to those we encounter. This quote reinforced what was on my mind yesterday. Money is not the only commodity that is fun to give. We can give time, we can give our expertise, we can give our love, or simply give a smile. What does that cost? The point is, none of us can ever run out of something worthwhile to give. Let us take time now to give from our heart, to share our love for one another and for those we don't know in our community. For as the book of Corinthians states, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving in God. Our morning offering will now be received and shared with others.
oppressed. Let this offering be a sign of the giving of our own lives to your cause of love and peace in this world, beginning in our own hearts. We ask it in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Really is. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I would just like to repeat the last stanza of the offertory hymn. The word is like a deep, deep mine, and jewels rich and rare are hidden in the mighty depths for every searcher there, for every searcher there. And my fervent prayer is that we're all searchers. The scripture this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, which says, "Take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And Ephesians, again, chapter 6, verse 13. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil arrives, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." For several years now, I've had the privilege of standing before you and sharing some of my thoughts with you as we take this very special day to honor and remember those brave young men and women who so generously and selflessly gave their lives in defending our freedom and our honor. And they did this in the battlefields, even here at home in the Civil War, and then in World War II and all the wars. And I look back at some of the sermons that I've given before, and I find that they're always based on current events. What's happening now? So what's happening this Memorial Day, 2022? Sad to say, folks, things haven't progressed a whole lot since 2021. They've only deteriorated a little bit, I think. Last year at this time, we were in the midst of COVID-19, deadly battle, a battle that has claimed more than a million lives. A million lives, that totals up to more lives than we have lost in all of the wars. Well, we're still battling COVID-19 and its siblings. And the folks in Washington don't seem to have a short-term optimistic sense when it comes to a near-term turnaround. But they're working on it. And then on February 24th, a day that we'll remember in history, Russia crossed the border of the Ukraine in a full attack. Ukraine and its citizens are now in a war of survival that has no apparent end gate. The glimpses that we have of the horrific damage being thrust on the Ukrainian people are unbelievable and horrific, to say the least. The suffering and sacrifices of the Ukrainian women, children, and little babies that we see on television as they seek protection from the scorched earth policy of the Russian government is also unbelievable and horrific. We ask ourselves, how could this happen? How could someone do this? How could someone do this? It is inhumane. It is against all of the things that we have learned. And in the end, this war, like all the other wars, will produce its own heroes, worthy of honor, worthy of remembrance. Volodymyr Zelensky is the Ukrainian's David against Russian's Goliath. Who he was, and what he was a very popular TV character and comedian, is not who he is today. Today, he is a hero. And he's not only a hero to the Ukrainian people, he's become a hero to the world, to the free people of the world. And I think there's a lesson in that. There are consequences of any war that are felt far beyond the battlefield, so that just the struggle in the Ukraine isn't the only thing. That war is sending shockwaves of global inflation and critical food shortages around the world, supply chain issues and supply and demand issues, and imbalances are straining the global financial markets. So it's not just a little war in the Ukraine. We're all feeling that, everyone. And we don't have a glimmer of hope that it's going to end anytime soon. In fact, we're living in another harsh reality. I read somewhere this morning that there have been 213 mass shootings in the United States in the last 21 weeks. Somebody has got to stand up and say, "This shall not stand. We must go beyond that. We must not force our little children to go to school in fear. We must not let our parents stand outside of those children in horror and doubt. It just cannot stand." Maybe the optimist is right when he said, "This too shall pass, folks. We'll get beyond this." But when? When? At what cost? Will the families and teachers and school administrators and the police ever be able to forget what they saw in Texas and Buffalo and all the other places? I don't think they're going to forget that soon. I don't think we should forget it either. Which leads me to my topic, lest we forget. Now, the phrase "lest we forget" is thought to come from a poem that Rudyard Kipling wrote back in the 1870s. It was called "Recessional." It's also one of our favorite hymns here. Kipling took inspiration from the Bible, namely Deuteronomy, verse 12, which we read this earlier. "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought you forth out of Egypt." Let me give you a couple of stanzas of the poem. You'll remember it from the hymn. "God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold dominion over palm and pine. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. The tumult and the shouting dies, the captains and the kings depart. Still stands thine ancient sacrifice. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget." And that line, "still stands thine ancient sacrifice," is Kipling's and Deuteronomy's reminder of the sacrifice that God made when he gave up his only son on the cross. Now, if we go to Jeremiah, we find that God has a little more pointed response to forgetting. When he says, "Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways in ancient paths. They made them walk in byways on roads not built up. Their land will be an object of horror and of lasting scorn. All pass by will be appalled and shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their disasters." Lest we forget, lest we forget. Perhaps by choice or by human nature, We folks seem to forget things pretty easily. And sometimes we're not aware of the consequences of our forgetting. Sometimes we deliberately forget because we really don't want to remember. It's just too painful. We turn away. We use our clicker and turn the news off and refuse to look at it again for a couple of nights. We may choose to forget things because it's just too inconvenient. Our schedules are too crowded. We have limited time, and we don't want to waste it on things that are happening half a world away in a language that we don't speak and a language that we don't understand. And sometimes we forget that remembering is an intentional act. It's deliberate. It's purposeful. Often we don't forget as much as we're distracted. Or should I say, we allow ourselves to be distracted. Often we depend on others to tell us what's important. They tell us what we should focus on. They tell us what we should be remembering. Now, I remember when the war in the Ukraine was on everybody's front page, everybody's screen, when you watch the news. But today, look at the newspapers. The war in the Ukraine no longer obtains the front page of the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and you don't hear that much about it in the leads from CNN or Fox News. Is it possible that the war in the Ukraine has lost its relevance to us? Is it just too hard to look at? Is it that easy to move on to something else and turn our backs on what's happening? Maybe we should be remembering some of the lessons that we learned in Bible school. We keep forgetting that the second commandment is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. We forget that loving people and loving the Lord is all about action. It's not an emotion, it's action. Maybe we should take the eight Beatitudes and think of them as a job description for good living. Reinhold Niebuhr, a well-known theologian, I think is the right word I'm looking for, talked about the fact that we adore people more than we emulate them. Doesn't it make sense then that we emulate Jesus Christ and his teachings and his counsel and advice? Wouldn't it be better that we emulate Jesus in all of our affairs every day with everyone that we meet? Some of us might remember the quote, "Those who forget history are condemned to repeat it." That was an American philosopher, George Santayana. But a very well-known American general, George S. Patton, said, "Prepare for the unknown by studying how others in the past have coped with the unforeseeable and the unpredictable." The historian David McCullough said, "How can we know who we are and where we're going if we don't know anything about where we've come from and what we've been through, the courage that we've shown and seen, the cost paid to find out where we are right now?" McCullough also reasoned that there's no such thing as the past. Nobody lived in the past. They lived in their present. It is their present, not our present. And they didn't know, and they didn't know at the time how things were going to turn out. They weren't just like us because they lived in a very different time, in a very different circumstance, in a very different environment. McCullough said that you can't understand them if you don't understand how they faced their own reality. And that's what remembering is all about, understanding the reality of other people. Now, how do we remember our heroes? How do we honor our heroes? I forgot. Last Saturday was Armed Forces Day. How many people here remember that last Saturday was Armed Forces Day, the day that we remember all of the folks that are in our armed services today? I didn't remember because nobody reminded me. But Memorial Day, unfortunately, is a little more important and a little more possible because it's a day off and it begins our summer season. We can watch documentaries, learn about the past, and we can watch movies, and we can read books. Sometimes, if we're lucky, we can even talk to Grandma and Granddad about their reminiscence of the past. In some cases, the only memories that we do have left are found in those wonderful letters sent from the soldiers and the guys in the Navy and the Marine Corps, letters that they sent home. And these letters go way, way back. Some of the best letters I've ever read about the war were written by a gentleman, James McPherson, and it was all about why the guys in the North and the South, the brothers and the sisters and the fathers, chose to go to war against their brothers and fathers. Amazing. Some letters were lost in the mail, turned up 85 years later. That's always surprising. Some letters were found in the bottom of a Foot Locker, and some were found in a cardboard box up on a top shelf, and some were found on a top shelf of Grandma's attic. Well, speaking of letters from heroes, I'd like to tell you a little story. The hero in this story didn't die in the Second World War. As a matter of fact, he lived to be 95 years old. In 1942, at age 32, a young advertising executive, and we'll call him Jack, enlisted in the United States Army and was assigned to the 19th Combat Engineering Battalion. The combat engineers were the first guys in battle. These were the guys who built the roads and built the bridges and built the airstrips so that the troops could get to the front line and fight the enemy. They were there ahead of them. They paved the way. At the same time, they also destroyed the bridges, the roads, the airstrips, and the tunnels that the enemy had built. And when need be, they picked up their rifles and fought like regular infantrymen. But back to Jack. Jack wrote more than 280 letters home. These were letters written on the battlefield. He wrote them in hand, by hand. And they weren't letters that said, "Dear Mom, the weather's cold, the food's rotten, my sergeant's an idiot, send candy." More than anything like that. I've had the privilege of reading some of these letters, and I can tell you that they're truly fantastic. Each letter is filled with love and caring. There's no poor me's. There's no, "I wish I wasn't here." Each letter was completely responsive to what was going on at home. "How's Uncle Harry? How's Aunt Sarah? How's your foot? Did you pay your insurance premiums?" Each letter cemented the bond between those at home and those at war. They were responsive. They were just filled with love. And Jack did something on two particular occasions that just struck me. This is heroism in deeds and in words. In a documentary that, if you care to, you can look on YouTube, it's called "The 19th Engineers No Longer Exist." It was an interview that a gentleman by the name of Tim Nelson conducted with some of the remaining guys from the 19th Battalion, and particularly B Company. And Jack was interviewed. And in the last part of the interview, he said, "My last day, I had in my pocket an order which said to go and remove the mines, clear a path for an attack by our infantry on the south bank of the Arno River." The Arno River is up by Firenze, or Florence as we call it. An attack the next day. And in my pocket was a letter, orders for me to be rotated home the next day. One letter says, go to battle. Put your life on the line again. The other letter says, take it easy, Jack, go home. Be with your family. Be with your loved ones. And Jack's next comment was, so if you've ever seen a careful guy, clearly Jack chose deliberately, reasonably, to continue the battle, to continue to go up to the Arno River, to continue to pave the way for his comrades. Clearing the mines, clearing the way, was far more important than just rotating home and taking the easy way out. That's the deed. In a letter that he wrote on the 17th of November, 1942, he said this, and I think this is the epitome of patriotism to me. The American flag may not thrill you when you see hundreds of them on Fifth Avenue, but when it goes up and down in the mornings and the evenings in front of my tent with natives and Americans saluting, it's something you don't forget. That's sort of a picture story. I can see that in my mind. Now, this is the part where we roll the credits, because Jack is Captain John Davis Upton, company commander of B Company, 19th Combat Engineers. But more important, he is Eleanor Biggs' dad. And Eleanor and her associate editor, James Biggs, are publishing all of her dad's letters with some commentary in a forthcoming book that she calls Love Letters from a Patriot. I'm looking forward to it. Finally, the lessons we glean from the past, not just from honoring and remembering as we are today, are the very foundations of our legacy to the next generation and generations far beyond. If we stumble blindly into the future, we will find ourselves woefully ill-prepared, and the cost of forgetting may well cripple us. We will not have served our generations to come, our children and our grandchildren and our nation. We will not have served them well. Now, I usually try to end up my comments with a little snippet from a Mary Oliver poem. But today, I think there's something more important, and it comes from John chapter 15, verse 13, which says, greater love has no one more than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Amen. May the sun bring you new energy by day. May the moon softly restore you by light. May the rain wash away your worries, and may the breeze blow new strength into your being. May you walk gently through the world and know its beauty all the days of your life. Go now in peace and love. Serve the Lord. Happy Memorial Day. Amen. Oh, I guess we stand here until that's over.
Oh, we do?